Good to be here. I'm going to continue a discussion that we started in Sunday school, actually. Maybe as a introductory verse, I'd like to look at Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. This is really familiar verses, I think. It says, "Thus saith Jehovah, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What manner of house will you build unto me? And what place shall be my rest? For all these things hath my hand made, and so all these things came to be, saith Jehovah. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word." The thing that I guess impresses me about this verse is not that I have what it takes here necessarily, but that God is promising to look at somebody who responds to him in a certain way. And that really gives me hope to know that God is listening if I'm willing to respond to him in a certain manner. And this morning I'd like to look at the subject of humility. And we talked about it a little bit in Sunday school towards the end of our class there. The last verse in the Sunday school lesson talks about humility coming before honor. And, the saying is that if you have two options on humility, you can humble yourself voluntarily or you can wait and God will do it for you. And many times it's not really how we wanted it. But another interesting little thing about humility is that you might have heard of the book called Humility and How I Achieved It. The only thing is it's not a real book. It's just a joke. And I suppose if it was a book, it would probably be fiction. The Bible talks about humility a lot, and we've seen that in Proverbs, and also in many other parts of the Bible. In Psalms, David talks a lot about humility, and he says this, speaking of God, "He shall save the humble person, and he forgetteth not the cry of the humble." Jesus said in Matthew, two different passages here, he said, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." That's really hard to imagine the thing that Jesus is really saying here, that humility is so great. In another passage in Matthew, Jesus says this, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." You know, I think our culture has changed. It used to be that a humble person was rewarded, that people looked up to them, and you know, that was a thing that people tried to promote. However, it seems that it's changed a lot. Nowadays, people believe mostly in self-promotion. They think that, you know, if you don't put yourself out there and tell people what your talents and abilities are and sort of brag on yourself a bit, you're not going to get anywhere. But obviously from the Bible, God cannot work with me or you if we are full of ourselves and full of pride. And we're going to also have a hard time working with other people. To put it another way, the degree of humility in your life determines the degree that God can work in you and use you. In the New Testament, James and Peter both quoted a passage in one of their books. And this passage says, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." And as I was thinking about that verse, you know, there's a lot said about grace today in Christianity. It's a very popular word, maybe more popular than what it should be. But did you know that grace comes with conditions? In this passage, God gives grace to the humble, but he doesn't give it to the proud. So if we want grace from God, we should be seeking to be humble. And I think the sneaky thing about pride, the opposite of humility, is that it's really something that's easy for us to notice in someone else's life. We can look out there and we see that in someone else's life, and it's pretty quick for us to pick up on it. But it's really hard sometimes for us to notice it in our own selves, in our own life. I think humility is a difficult virtue to gain and to keep. You know, I think pride is probably the most common pervasive sin in the world today. Nobody, I don't think anybody, is exempt from dealing with pride in their lives. Maybe that's a good thing, because we can all agree that we're all going to face this battle in our life, the battle of pride. An overinflated view of ourselves or our importance, that's pride. Humility is a proper godly view of who we are and how important we are. So this morning I would like to, we don't want to have to wait for God to humble us. Maybe he's going to at some point, but we can work on that in our own life today. The word humbled is used in the Bible as a verb many times. The Bible talks about people who humble themselves. It mentions several kings in the Old Testament, King Rehoboam, King Hezekiah, King Manasseh. All three of these kings at some point humbled themselves, and the Lord, they found favor with God because of it. It doesn't mean that their whole life was characterized by humility. But when they changed their attitude and humbled themselves, God changed the circumstances around them. And you can read about that in Chronicles. In other places, too, it talks about how that God changed his actions or his views of somebody because of their willingness to humble themselves. So I'd like to look at, instead of focusing on pride, I would like to look at characteristics of a humble person, maybe attitudes and actions of a humble person. And this is not at all a comprehensive list. In fact, I know I missed some things here, and you probably have some of your own that could be added. But these are some things that I found. The first one I have here is a willingness to listen to God. A humble person listens well. They're not focused on their own plans to the point that they can't hear and obey God. And I'd like to turn to Psalm 81 and read from verse 8 to 16 here. There's a little passage about the Israelites and the struggle they had to listen to the Lord. It says, "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. And he should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee." You know, this is a little bit of a sad story of how the Israelites refused to listen to the Lord. You know, they were proud. They were stiff-necked, it says. And they wanted to walk in their own counsel. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. And because of it, they lost the blessing of what God had planned for them. On the other hand, you can look at Abraham. When God called Abraham, he listened. And what God told Abraham to do probably sounded pretty strange and maybe a little bit outrageous for Abraham. But Abraham listened anyway. He was willing to subject his own plan to God's plan, and he listened. Pride leads people into deception. And, you know, the Israelites showed this when they refused to listen to God. They were soon off chasing idols, worshiping idols, and doing all sorts of things that they would have not, had never thought they would find themselves in. And as I thought of this too, look at the theory of evolution as an example. You know, prideful men wanted to replace God with something that they didn't have to be accountable to. They wanted to replace God. And so they came up with this theory, and they got so caught up into it that it's grown into this enormous theory that has to be explained so many things, and it has become really difficult for people to explain. But it has led millions of people into deception because in their pride, they wanted to believe something else. They didn't want to have to believe and listen to God. So in our own lives, are we willing to listen to God, or do we have the bit in our teeth, so to speak, and we don't want to listen to him? Humility also helps us listen to other people. as I'm thinking about these different characteristics, I think they apply to us and God, and also between our in our relationships to other people. A humble person is willing to listen to other people's input in their life. In leadership, a leader will listen to others, to the people that they lead. Doesn't mean that he necessarily does exactly what other people want him to do, but he listens. He has an ear to listen. Okay, number two I have, willingness to admit fault. And a parable in Luke, I'd like to read, Luke 18, verse 9, Jesus tells this parable. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So, a humble person is willing to admit his faults and to confess them. Which of these two men was righteous? One of them trusted in his own righteousness, and he was not on his way to heaven. The other person admitted his faults, and he was on the path to heaven. You know, sometimes it's really hard for us to admit fault, especially when it involves other people. But like Dayton mentioned in last Sunday's sermon about honesty, we have to be honest about who we are, and honest with God about who we are too. We have to admit our faults. It can be really hard to admit to a fault when we're dealing with somebody who's smug and who has a know-it-all attitude and says, "Yeah, I know that's how you are, and you're not telling me anything new." That can be really difficult to be humble when a person approaches us with that attitude. But a humble person is willing to admit their faults regardless of who it is. We see ourselves honestly if we're humble. We don't see ourselves as an inflated view of ourselves. We see ourselves as prone to mistakes, prone to sin, prone to wrong motives. And I'm speaking to myself here because I find all of these things to be a struggle in my life. The humble person is willing to change directions. Since the humble person is willing to admit fault, he's also willing to change the direction of his life if that's what's needed. In a verse that is very familiar also, it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And notice it says, turn from their wicked ways. They not only humbled themselves, but they also turned from what they were doing. I don't think it's an accident that the words stubborn and pride often go together. A prideful person finds it hard to change because admitting that they're wrong is hard to do. And so they find it hard to change. They find it hard to turn around and do something opposite of what they were doing or different because doing so would admit fault or wrong in their life. There's two famous rulers in the Bible that were both humbled by God, and one of them never responded to God in a proper way, and the other person eventually did respond in a proper way. Think of Pharaoh. You know, he refused to humble himself in spite of the terrible things that he allowed to happen to his people and in their land. He put up with all of these plagues because of his pride. He could not humble himself, and in the end, he lost everything that he had, pretty much, to his pride. And on the other hand, you have Nebuchadnezzar. At some point, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about something, and the dream was revealed to him. And Nebuchadnezzar became proud in his life, and he was up there looking at all the things that he had, and he was bragging to himself about how great he was and how huge his kingdom was. And God decided to humble Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, you're going to go and you're going to eat grass. Talk about a humiliating experience. He lost his mind, I guess, and he was out there in the field eating grass for a period of time. And eventually he came to his mind, his right mind, and at that point Nebuchadnezzar honored God and admitted that God was the creator, God was in charge, and that he was only a human. And you can read that, I won't take the time to read that, in Daniel 4, but it's really an amazing story about a king who was not a godly king as such, but who, when God humbled him, he did respond in a way that he changed his direction and his thinking. So the pride resist input, the prideful resist input on their lives and in what they do. But the humble will listen and will put aside their personal inclinations. And also, I'm thinking of in the church, humility is so important because, as it says in Peter, we should submit to one another. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5, it says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." So what keeps us from submitting to one another? Usually it's pride. It's a fascination and a desire for our own way, a belief that we are right, and a desire to have our way in something. A humble person is willing to be insignificant. Romans 12, verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." There's a story that many of you probably have heard, but many years ago, a white woman who was wealthy saw this man passing by her house, a black man, and she needed some work done, some firewood cut in her house. So she called him over and said, "Hey, cut some firewood for me." And so he did. He stopped. He cut the firewood. He did a really good job. And later somebody told her, "Hey, you know who that was? That was Booker T. Washington. He was actually a famous man even in his time." And she was really embarrassed that she had asked this famous person to come over to her house, like a common, you know, laborer, to come to her house and work. And so she went to apologize to him. But he was not offended. He said, no, he's glad to help somebody out, and he likes to do some work like that anyway. You know, that is such a different attitude than what you see in the world today. Especially I'm thinking of the racial component of this story, too. You know, he was such a humble person that he was able to take that, what could have been a great offense to a prideful person. But it was not an offense to him. He was happy to do it, he said. And in our lives, you know, sometimes we have a talent for something that never gets noticed or never gets used, we think. And, you know, sometimes I don't think, contrary to what some would say, I don't think God always uses us in a place that we are the most talented naturally. Sometimes he calls us places that we're maybe not as talented as other people are. Maybe he wants a boring, obscure job from out of you, something that anybody could do. And are we willing to put aside our what we know is our better gifts and just do some plain job that people aren't going to notice? A humble person is willing to go unnoticed. This one really caught Haman. You know, Haman, he couldn't bear the thought that Mordecai would refuse to bow to him. Haman had to be noticed for who he was. And, you know, if he'd been willing to ignore Mordecai, he probably wouldn't have ended up at the end of a rope like he did. But Haman was a very prideful person, and this caught him. He was not satisfied unless he was acknowledged for who he was. And that brings me to the next point, which is that a humble person is willing to let someone else get the credit. You know, in the end, we should recognize that God is the one who deserves the credit and not ourselves when something gets done that is important. And the less we're concerned about our own reputation and credit, the more we will be concerned that the glory goes to the Lord. As a bad example of this, Saul, you know, he was incredibly jealous of his reputation. When people started praising David and saying, you know, David did all these wonderful things, Saul couldn't bear to hear that. He was very jealous of his reputation, and he became violent. And, of course, the proper response for Saul would have been to praise the Lord for what David was doing for the kingdom of Israel. But pride kept him from doing that. There's a little fable about a frog and an eagle. And the frog wanted to, he got this bright idea. He wanted to see the world from the viewpoint of a bird. So he told the eagle, here's what let's do. Here's a stick. You hold the stick in your beak, and I'll hold the stick in my mouth. And then you fly up there, and we'll, you know, I can see everything around. So they did that. And the eagle was flying high, watching, and the frog was looking at all the things that the eagle could see from his perspective, and it was great. And soon birds flocked around this eagle flying around, and they were talking, as they can in fables, I guess. And they said, wow, what a neat idea. This is great. Look at this frog. He can really see things. And they were talking about what a great idea it was. And finally they said, now who thought of this idea? And the frog said, I. And that was it. He fell. And splat. So the frog was determined to have the credit, and it cost him. You know, maybe I should add another point here, I don't know, but I thought of this, maybe a more minor point, is a willingness to laugh at yourself. You know, your degree of willingness to laugh at yourself can reveal, and this has happened to me, can reveal the amount of pride that you have in your life. Life has a way of humiliating proud people and revealing our pride to us when we do something stupid. And sometimes I think that the Lord uses children to do that too. Children have a way of keeping us humble. Pride is not a once and done battle either. It's something that, as I mentioned before, we're going to face our whole life, and we're going to have to fight really hard. Or we can give up and say, like Muhammad Ali said, it's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am. Colossians 3, verse 12 says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And then in Philippians, Paul says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, as we think about pride and how it can be so harmful in the church, look at these two verses, how that we should put on humbleness of mind, how that we should have a lowliness of mind and esteem others better than ourselves. That's a difficult thing to do. But humility, like love, is what helps a church run smoothly. Without humility, there's friction, and then work doesn't get done. I was thinking about this in my work. Sometimes I work on these chains and sprockets and things like that, and you know, when a sprocket gets worn to a certain point, the teeth don't hold the chain anymore and it starts to slip. And instead of work getting done, all that's created is friction and heat. And just like that in the church, when there's not humility and our gears are not meshing together with humility, and instead there's pride, there's a lot of wasted effort on conflicts and differences. Instead of working towards the things that the church can work towards, there's friction, there's heat, but there's not a lot of work getting done. I think sometimes personality, what we call personality clashes, are really just pride raising its head in our lives and not allowing us to work together with other people in the church. We make it so much easier for ourselves and for others in the church when we can let go and be humble. The last point I have is a willingness to have your rights trampled. And I'd like to look at Jesus as an example of this. You know, who is more humble, who went from a higher, loftier position to a more humble position than Jesus did? A king who leaves his lofty mansions in heaven. He's born into a poor family, just very ordinary. In fact, the Romans would have said that they were worse than ordinary. They were lower than ordinary. He grows up like an ordinary boy. He lives 30 years on earth with the lowliest of people, associates with the lowliest of people, and he dies the death of a common criminal, an outcast criminal. You know, many people rejected Jesus simply because he was so humble that they couldn't accept a king that was so humble and so insignificant. He didn't live up to the prideful notions of people who thought a king should be somebody who's lived a grand life, who looked important, who cut a wide swath. But humility is not weakness. Some people mistake it for weakness, but it's not weakness. And Jesus lived a life that showed that humility is a strength that can change the world. And there's strength in admitting that we are weak and that we have faults and that we need help and keeping our minds humble. I'd like to read these last few verses here in closing. It's in Philippians 2, 5 through 8. And this is speaking about Christ. Let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So, as we think about Christ, you know, we recognize that he humbled himself far more than what we will ever even be able to do in this life. And look what glory it brought to him. His humility brought to the world and what it did to change the world as well. And I think if we are willing to follow his example and be humble, God can really work with us. God can work through us. That's all I have this morning. I'll leave it open if you have